Blog Talk Radio.
What is going on, everybody? How are you? Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. It is Monday. What a great weekend. What a crazy day already in sports. Crazy weekend. A lot of stuff happening. We're going to try to cram all this in today. Amari Cooper traded from the Raiders to the Cowboys for a number one pick. There goes Gruden again. Patrick Peterson wants out of Arizona. See, 3 weeks ago when they were talking about trading him, everyone said, no, there's nothing to it. Where there's smoke, there's always a little bit of fire. Rondo spitting on people. Ingram pushing people. Chris Paul retaliating with punches. Lakers suspension. They haven't even won yet, y'all. We're going to talk about that. The World Series, Boston, L.A., two best teams. But boy, Major League Baseball front offices are taking a big deep breath saying, thank God it's these two teams, even though it should be these two teams. All that stuff we're going to get into today on The Cave Show. This is PLR. Thank you for hanging out with me here on Monday, back at our normal time, 1 o'clock. We are brought to you, of course, by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get in there and let them know PLR sent you. Get 10% off of any cigar purchase. Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. You can become a club member, get a humidor, never worry about sticks going bad. And all that is at Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Ton of televisions in there. You never miss a game. Let them know PLR sent you and get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. As I said earlier, welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. You heard the topics. A lot of stuff to get into. We're going to dive in. If you have anything on your mind, you can call 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. That is the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Give a call. Tell us if you have anything else you'd like to bring up, or you can stick to that stuff. I do have a caller patiently waiting. Thank you for holding. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show. You are on the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Who do I have the privilege of speaking with?
Thank you, Paul. This is Lou once again. And you're right.
Lou, what's
what a
up,
weekend's
my man?
Been. First of all, with the basket brawl, I mean, I've heard of teams that don't like each other, but this takes the cake.
You know, this is something I really want to extend on little bit as the show goes on. But suspensions were handed out. Brandon Ingram got 4. Rondo got 3. Chris Paul got 2. I think that's so disproportionate to the way it should have went. I 100%, you're never going to hear me say this again, agree with Mike D'Antoni. I think Chris Paul got the raw end of this deal. He got spat on. And Lou, I'm going to say this, and I know you'll agree with me. If a man stands next to you and spits in your face, you pointing your finger back in his face may be the simplest thing you do. Because usually when a man spits in another man's face, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you are, that's a fight.
Yes, it is. It may not be verbal or physical, but it's still a fight.
So,
and he was asking for it.
You are asking for it. As soon as spit flies out of your mouth, what you have just said was, I want to fight you. I want us to throw punches. Now, people will say, well, PLR, you're advocating violence. I'm not advocating violence.
The person who
spit is advocating violence, because you don't spit on a person. There are two things that my dad told me growing up that will guarantee a fight no matter what age you are. If you spit on a person and if you open hand slap a person, you're gonna be fighting. It's just gonna happen. So it's really just that simple. But
you're just asking for trouble.
I do. Yeah, there is something I do want to talk to you about, and I know not your favorite team, obviously, but switching over to baseball.
You mean the Red Sox?
The Red Sox and the Dodgers are about to go at it, and rating-wise, Lou, this is going to be a bonanza for Major League Baseball, one.
Oh, yeah.
Two,
oh, yeah.
Even though I know they're not your favorite, and I know I picked the Astros to beat them, but this time it all fell right for baseball. The best team is really the Dodgers out of the National League. Some will say even though the Cubs didn't win their division, they were the best team with the talent. But the Dodgers are the best team, and all year the Red Sox proved they were the best team overall in baseball. So this is one of those times where you actually get to see the two best teams go at it and just get to say, hey, let's see what happens.
Exactly. I mean, because, you know, you have the Red Sox who won 108 games, and they have the Dodgers, you know, trying to defend their National League title and whatnot. You know, my heart says the Dodgers, but my head is saying the Red Sox.
Yeah, and I agree with you because, you know, when I doubted Tony Capobianco and, you know, I'm a Cuban cowboy, does stuff with the Cave, obviously. He was right. I thought that the pitching of the Astros would silence the Boston bats. And I don't know if the Astros pitching couldn't silence the bats.
No.
Can the Dodger pitching do it? Because the Dodgers bullpen really isn't that strong. So, and I know what Kershaw did, you know, in bouncing back and getting a big victory in game five, but which Kershaw shows up? But then in Boston, you could say the same thing. Which David Price shows up. So it's curious to see because both these teams can score. Both these teams can mash when it comes to home runs. It's early. It starts tomorrow. I hopefully you call tomorrow because I want to get who you think will win. We're going to get in the prediction business, the fortune-telling business, and I'll ask you that tomorrow. But, Lou, this is setting up to be a very, very, very exciting World Series.
Oh, this is going seven, no question.
So we will see how that goes. And now as we continue to bounce around as the show starts, you're a big Dallas Cowboy guy.
Yes.
You now have Amari Cooper. You had to give up a first-round pick for it, but John Gruden has done it again. He obviously doesn't want the old players. He wants his fingerprint on everything, and Amari Cooper is now a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Who wins this trade?
I'm hoping it's going to be the Cowboys because they can use somebody strong. I mean, you know, because Elliott needs some help. And with Cooper on, I think it can benefit out the Cowboys. And it's going to benefit Prescott a lot more.
It always helps when you can have speed and a good receiver. You know, it's going to help Cole Beasley get open more across the middle. It's going to open up run lanes. Because you can't just suck everybody in on Zeke Elliott. And it's going to give Dak Prescott another target. But I'm going to tell you something. I watched the game last night, or the end of the game. There are times, though, and I have nothing against Dak Prescott, but there are times where you can still see he's a young quarterback. As they were driving for that score towards the end of the game, he had a wide open guy down the middle of the field, wide open. I don't remember which receiver it was. And he tucked it and he ran. And he ended up picking up the first down. He got a good chunk, but it was about 7-8 yards shorter than the pass would have got. And it probably ran about another 5-6 seconds off the clock. And these are the things, and those are the things that separate good quarterbacks like a Dak Prescott, a Matt Ryan, those guys, that's what separates them from a Brady, a Rodgers, a Breeze, a Wilson, because that pass is out of their hands and that target is hit. And they're up to the line and they're moving and less time is coming off the clock. And it's just funny how when you watch the game, from not just a fan's point of view, because a fan's point of view saw Dak tuck it and run, get a first down, get good yardage, and everyone is like going, cool, move the chains. But that's a pass you have to make. And I've said this a lot about Blake Bortles, and he's become my poster child for examples. But when you put a 9-yard pass, and you...
You're right about that.
Even if he gets tackled and falls, he's catching that pass and fall forward. And Dak is a young quarterback. But in that case, he's got to let that pass fly. And I think that's what separates him from the elite of the elite right now.
Exactly. But, you know, like I said, I think it's going to help more with Elliott than not. So I think it is a good move, and we could use it, especially after last night, because we had that game.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep. And we look up, and Washington, who's done nothing special, who's done nothing spectacular, they're leading that division now, 4-2. And to be honest with you, with a quarterback like Alex Smith, who's not going to lose games. Like I said, he's not going to go out and win a bunch of them for you, but he's not going to throw interceptions and make you lose. You're now in a dead heat with Philadelphia, but you now have to make up, in essence, 3 games on Washington because they own the tiebreaker. So as the season breaks down, it's kind of funny. The Vikings, who everyone thought was going to be really good in the NFC, stunk the first couple everybody rated. Ended up, they're 4-2-1, and they're leading the division. The Detroit Lions, who everyone said would suck, and I was one of them. You look up, and they're 3-3. And the NFC North is slowly becoming the best division in the NFC because everyone is competitive. And as you look around, you start saying, okay, Washington looks like they're going to be okay, and the Vikings are going to be okay, and the Saints obviously are going to be okay. And then Carolina, who everyone had a lot of concern and worry about, they're now 4-2. The Rams are undefeated. Seattle, who everyone had concerns with, somehow they figured it out with the franchise quarterback and Russell Wilson. And it was just getting real exciting in the NFC with the Rams obviously being the class, but your team's not out of it at 3-4.
No.
Eagles not out of it at 3-4. The Packers are not out of it. The Lions are not out of it. So very interesting how this all shakes down.
Yeah, it does seem more tired. And, of course, then you also have the Giants. Well, that's another story altogether.
If any team has a must-win, if the Giants have any hope of making any noise the rest of this year and doing one of those big runs like the Houston Oilers did back in the day that started out like 0-4 and ended the season 11-5, if they want to get on a run, they have an opportunity tonight to get on a run against a team that I think is severely overrated in Atlanta. So this is their shot. They lose this game, it honestly, the season doesn't matter anymore.
Bye-bye.
Yep, it's a wrap.
Then again, the Saints did the same thing, if I recall.
Yes, they did. They did. So you got to get on that roll. But you can't get on that roll with 6 losses. So this is it right here.
As we used to say, put up or shut up.
Yep. Or as my great grandmother used to say, do it or get off the pot.
I never heard that one.
So, yeah, there was another word she used, but I don't want to use that word. So
I get it, yes.
I'll just translate.
We're making a family show.
Exactly. So that's it, my man. Tell everyone about your show.
Well, there is one thing. I know it's a little bit early, but they've already had the preseason college basketball picks out. And guess who's number one?
Kansas.
That's right. Boy, I thought I was going to stump you.
Kansas. And the FBI is breathing down everybody's neck, but Kansas is still number one.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Only 2.5 more weeks, and then the season starts. I can't wait.
It's crazy. This is the best time of the year. Do you realize this weekend, on Saturday, we had college football, playoff baseball, NBA.
All right, now
hockey,
here's my complaint right now. Why would you have? I got this like in Steinfeld. Why would you have two college football games on network television the same night as Game 4 in the World Series? What is the deal?
Because, believe it or not, they outdrew that game. There are more highs on that game. Football isn't scared of baseball anymore. It's the other way around. Football is not scared of baseball anymore. It's the other way around. That Ohio State game probably still had a same lion's share of audience, if not more, than the baseball game.
Well, I heard that the baseball ratings were down from last year, but it's still, I think it still had a higher rating.
The one thing I think baseball should do, Lou, and I'm a firm believer, is today, on Mondays, if the way the schedule falls out, would be the perfect day to play a day World Series game. You're not competing against Monday Night Football. You're actually setting up Monday Night Football. So you're playing your game, and it's done, and now people go watch football. You're not in competition. On the weekends, on a Sunday, you're not going to compete against football. I don't care if the Buffalo Bills are playing the Tennessee Titans. They're still going to outdraw and have more eyes. It's terrible, but it's the truth. It's just the truth. So I wouldn't play a World Series game on a Sunday. I'd say, you know what? That's their day. That's the NFL's day. Give it to them. Whatever.
Exactly.
So if that's their day and you're going to give it to them, then, yeah, you still got to play the Saturday. But play Monday afternoon. And then you have Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night.
Well, they do have the last Monday rest travel.
Wait, no, I'm just saying the days you have to play. But I wouldn't battle Sunday night. Football is getting older and older and older. And baseball can say what they want, and they can spin it how they want. But when your core audience is 48-year-old to 70-year-old older white men, you're not growing your game.
No.
It's just not happening. And it's a great audience in terms of money because you're going to have people that are established and they can do things. But you know what? They're not getting younger. And so you don't have a 20-year-old.
Neither am I.
You don't have a 25-year-old base. And that's the one thing. When Nike did what they did, everyone was like, oh, that's going to ruin them. Look at their stock plunge. 2 days later, it was higher than it had ever been because they basically said, for lack of a better phrase, 60-year-old white dude, we love you when you buy money for your kids and your grandkids, but you're not our audience. 25-year-olds are our audience. 30-year-olds are our audience. 16-year-olds, that's our audience. They're the ones that get up on a Saturday morning and go stand in line for 3 hours for the new pair of Jordans, not you. So, sorry, we're going to target them. And it was a gamble,
right,
and it paid off. Well, baseball doesn't do that. You and I talked about this before, and I want to do this so you can get to your show. Tell everyone when your show is. But we talked about this before. I said baseball does a poor job of marketing their bad teams or their other teams and getting other people to know those teams. And then it comes back, and when the playoffs roll around, if you have an Atlanta team in the playoffs, no one knows who they are. And because no one knows who they are, then no one turns around and watches it. Tonight on NBA TV, the Magic are playing the Celtics. Yeah, the Celtics are really good. No one knows the Magic. No one knows anyone about the Magic. Unless you're a true basketball fan, you don't know who they are.
Right.
But the NBA is putting them on TV. So you know what? Just in case, we can market these guys. Tomorrow night, the Sixers are playing the Pistons. Nobody knows any Pistons. But they're going to market the hell out of that game. One sports league does it right. Another sports league is getting older. Tell everyone how they could hear your show.
All right. We're called the Enhanced Sports Show. We're on Saturday nights, 6 to 8 p.m. That's Eastern time, by the way. The number is 605-562-0444. We're also heard on such other platforms as Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, and iHeart. We handle almost everything in world sports. There's no subject we won't tackle. So if you get a chance, look us up, and I'll post more information as the week progresses.
Thanks, my friend. Good talking to you.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, buddy. Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. A couple things I definitely want to get into today. Briefly talked about the brawl over at Staples. The match, like soccer. Houston Rockets versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Brandon Ingram, I don't know what the hell he was taking exception to be honest with you. Unnecessary push on James Harden is ridiculous. The real baby move, James Harden gets that call. Sorry, you don't like it. Nobody likes it. Unless you're a Houston fan, but he gets that call. Take the foul, shut up. But no, he pushes Harden. Harden restrains himself greatly. Looks at the ref, looks at him like, dude, what are you doing? And then Rondo and Chris Paul get into it. Then Rondo spits in Chris Paul's face. Rondo can tell it's lie if he wants it. He didn't try to. He spat in another man's face. Chris Paul then put his finger in Rondo's face. Rondo then gave him a one-piece to the jaw. Paul then fired back with a couple two-pieces of his own. Rondo fired back with another one-piece. Brandon Ingram comes out of nowhere, starts hitting people in the head, and on Chris Paul. Players start breaking it up. LeBron grabs Chris Paul. You know that's one of his best friends. He separates him, and you look on the other side of the court, and Ingram now is mad at Carmelo, and it's just an ugly scene. It was actually a real NBA brawl, which never really happens. It's usually a bunch of guys backing up, pretending like they want to fight, and they really don't want to fight. But to make a long story short, NBA hands down its suspensions, and they go basically like this. Brandon Ingram, 4 games. Don't sound like enough, does it? Rajon Rondo, 3 games. It really doesn't sound like enough, does it? Chris Paul, 2 games. That sounds a little steep, doesn't it? It is. The guy who started everything and then who came in after the fact and did the sucker punching only gets 4 games. That makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense. And then you have a guy that spits on someone. Literally spits on someone and takes the ball to another level, he gets 3 games. And then a guy that gets spat on retaliates. And like I said at the beginning of the show, if you spit on me, we are fighting. We are fighting. Just that simple. Someone's catching a haymaker. Someone's catching a two-piece of their own on that. Or as we used to say, behind that, somebody getting hit. Behind that. And he gets 2 games for that? That is absolutely ridiculous. And I have a theory. You call it a conspiracy theory if you want. But I have a theory why. And I really do believe this to be true. And I don't blame them for doing it. But I think the NBA is watching out for themselves a little bit on this one. The Lakers are 0-2. They're not off to a good start. They're not off to a start that a lot of people thought they would be. Now, it's early in the season. We all know that. A lot of basketball to go. But do you really want, with all the television that's around the Lakers, I mean, everything the Lakers do is on TV. I'm waiting for them to start showing Lakers shoot-around on ESPN. But when you look at the Lakers' schedule coming up, they have San Antonio tonight. Then they go to Phoenix. Then they get Denver. Then they get San Antonio again. And then they get Minnesota. And there's two Minnesotas. There's the one with Jimmy Butler, and there's the one without Jimmy Butler. So who knows which one it is. And then you get Dallas, fine. And then you go Portland, Toronto, back to Minnesota. Do you really think the league is interested in seeing the Lakers get off possibly. Now, let me count these games up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games take you through Minnesota on the 4th. Excuse me, on the 7th of November. Do you really think the league wants to see the Lakers get off to possibly a 3-8 start, a 4-7 start? And if you sit Rondo and Ingram for some really long times, like 5 games, 10 games, 15 games, excuse me, that's really going to hurt them. Now, I don't think the NBA says, hey, we're not going to do this. I'm not that big of a conspiracy theorist. But I do think that played in their mind a little bit, not on purpose, on purpose. But how do you not give Rondo more than 3 games for spitting on someone? But I don't know. I don't know. But speaking of the Lakers, and just of the Lakers, adjustment period, all that's going to happen, where everyone has to get in sync with everyone, everyone has to get on the same page. But, folks, I just don't see it. I don't see this team being better than a 7-8 seed if they make the playoffs at all. I just don't see it. I don't see the shooting. I don't see what this team is exactly doing. Are you trying to be an old veteran team and make sure you get in the playoffs with Rondo and Bron and Stevenson and JaVale McGee? Oh, and by the way, in that fight, Lance Stevenson was the one who had his wits about him. Anyway, are you going that direction? Or is it LeBron leading the young pups with the Kuzma and the Ball and the Ingrams? Which Lakers team is it? And folks, listen, LeBron James, let me say this because I'm going to be called LeBron hater again. LeBron James is the best basketball player in the NBA. Say it one more time. LeBron James is the best basketball player in the NBA. But, folks, he is not the same LeBron James as he was years ago. And it's obvious, and I know that's an obvious statement. But people say he's even better. And defensively, he is not. After all that melee and all the stuff that went on, there was a three-point shot that was hit by P.J. Tucker. And it was a drive and a kick. That was LeBron's guy. And after the ball went in, I distinctly remember him turning and putting his hand, like looking at his team, his bench, and putting his hands in the air. I don't know if he thought somebody else should have helped. I don't know what, but there aren't too many people in the league that don't know, and LeBron James is one of, if not the smartest NBA player, that knows you don't leave P.J. Tucker. It was like Bruce Bowen all the time in the corner. How is he so alone? Everyone knows he shoots corner threes. Kind of the same thing with P.J. That's LeBron's guy. And if he has defensive lapses, you already know the rest of that team is going to have defensive lapses. And when we go through this, we say, well, some team has to fall out. New Orleans is impressive. Portland is impressive. Golden State. Utah is Utah. Are you really ready to count San Antonio and Houston out just because they're off to a slow start? Are Houston off to a slow start? I'm not. Now, Minnesota, that's a little different story. That's a joke. With Jimmy Butler, they look good. Without Jimmy Butler, they look bad. That whole situation is a joke. Either trade the man or pay the man. You got two options. Either make it work contract-wise or don't. Either let him play or don't. Resting him two games into the season is the most ridiculous thing ever. And you know what? Yeah, it was great. Wiggins got his shots. Cat got his shots. They got their points all in a loss because no one played any damn defense. It's really sad. Minnesota, make up your mind. Trade him or don't. But team chemistry-wise, it is 100% screwed up. Do something. You got to do something. College football, no. Listen to me. No one's beating Alabama. They're not. Everybody else just getting the playoffs and hope something goes so wrong for Alabama that their starting quarterback is having such a bad game that they go to the backup quarterback who's only lost twice as a starting quarterback of Alabama that his game goes so bad that you could, you know, it ain't going to happen. Ohio State fell in the national polls. We got our own poll coming up here tomorrow. SportsGrid.com, if that's okay. Ohio fell from 2 to 11. And I wonder sometimes how much that has to do with, I don't think, with everything that went on with Ohio State and Urban Meyer, I don't think they really want them in a playoff game anyway. Yeah, Michigan, they'll bring the same amount of people. They'll travel well, good TV audience. But come playoff time, you don't want to be talking about what happened early in the year, and you definitely don't want Urban Meyer to continue to talk. Because that's a big drop. I know the Boilermakers were 3-3 going into the game, but they were looking a whole lot better. They were playing a lot better. They were at home, and I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I know when Ohio State lost last year to Iowa, I think it was like 55-20, they didn't fall 9 spots. So we shall see what's going on. Amari Cooper is a Cowboy. I asked Lou who he thought won this trade. Short term, the Cowboys. Long term, the Raiders, if Gruden doesn't screw it up. Patrick Peterson wants out of Arizona. Who doesn't want out? I think they have to pretend that they're not wanting people to retire at halftime. The Buffalo Bills continue to be a god-awful team. They went from the Peterman who can't do anything to Derek Anderson who can't do anything. They're just messed up. They're a mess. Blake Bortles finally got benched for Kessler. That's right. The same Kessler that was 0-8 in Cleveland. Cody Kessler. They're a mess. They are a mess. Same bad time, same bad channel tomorrow. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Thanks for the call-ins, all made via the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Fun time to be doing sports. Fun time. You can follow us on social media at the Sports Cave with Cave is always with the K. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. You can also get us on our website. thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is always with K. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. Until tomorrow, hopefully everyone has a great rest of your Monday. Monday night football, basketball on tonight. Sports Monday. Until tomorrow, everyone, take care. Have a great one. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR.